Good morning, everyone. Let's see. Let me get my notes up. This is our weekly Q&A. This is also, we're in the middle of our Mission Possible, which means that you guys, honestly, y'all are doing such a good job. I am never shocked at the level of dedication y'all have. But I will say, I think it's just been fun, and it has been a little just like, wow, they're really getting a lot out of this. I know this sounds crazy, but even though I'm the one that writes the material and I've recorded all the material and stuff, I am just like every other person. I've got that normal human brain that freaks out and thinks like, is that my best work? Am I really helping them? Like, I question myself just like anybody else questions themselves. And it's for me personally, I will just tell you, it's been very rewarding to go to the Facebook group and read your insights and your ahas. It's not so much like I get excited that you guys are doing this, but I get really a lot of inspiration. I get a lot of personal motivation. I also get like a lot of insight into like when you are posting, I just finished this module or I just finished this lesson, and this is what stood out for me. Like, I didn't hear it the first time. It helps me understand what to repeat for you guys, what to create more content around, what to, in next versions of NoBS, as we, like next year, we're going to roll out probably a brand new version. It'll be same lessons, four basics ain't going anywhere, but it'll help us really understand what you need a little bit more explanation on, what you really like and would like to hear more of, all those kinds of things. So with that said, I highly encourage everyone to keep using hashtag repeat, hashtag get it done over in the Facebook group. And when you do it, don't just tell us what you finished. Tell us what you learned. Tell us what you're going to work on. Tell us what somebody else, like this is the mindset I want you to post with. This week, someone's going to read my post, and it's going to be somebody who is in no BS right now, who thinks this doesn't apply to me, or who thinks I can't do it. I have too much weight to lose. I'm too old. I got too much going on in my life, Corinne. Write it for that person, because one day you might be that person who's going to hit that Facebook group. And you're going to need to see a post that says, maybe I can. You're going to see a post that's like, oh my gosh, that is my exact problem. That is how I think. And if this person got insight, maybe I can too. I always like to think about, you know, when y'all are posting, there's different ways to create posts inside of Facebook. There's, I want to celebrate myself. And I love those posts because I think that is like, there is nothing better than like other day, I guess it was yesterday. There was a post. I read it yesterday. I don't know if this was posted yesterday, but there was somebody who took a picture of her sitting in an airplane. And she said, 2 years ago was the last time I flew. And I needed to ask for that seatbelt extender. And today I got extra room. And she was so proud of herself and she wanted to celebrate it. I love those posts. I think all of you should do more of that. I think it helps the next person see their potential, especially when, like, in our group, we're not posting. Like, if you go to, like, an established runners group or you go to someplace like a CrossFit group or something like that, so many of the people are posting unattainable wins. I'm just going to be honest. I don't get motivated by reading a bunch of people who have been naturally thin all their lives or who've always been fit or who do extreme things. And then they're like, hoorah, I got my shake, you know, down for the 14th day in a row. I'm like, fuck you. You know, honestly, that ain't my life. You know, one of the things I love about no BS is we're all marching the same path. I don't care if you got 10 pounds to lose or you got 200 pounds to lose. We're all here because we're hard on ourselves. We've always felt fat. We've had the food struggles. Like, it don't come easy for us. And when we celebrate wins, they're attainable. They're like the kind of wins that mirror our lives. So I just think that that's beautiful. There's another kind of post inside of NoBS that I think is amazing, which is where you ask for your help. I mean, you're here because you don't want to go it alone. You're fucking sick and tired of feeling like the only person who struggles with your weight the way you do. You want to be around other people who, like, you feel like this is my safe space. These are the people who get it. Like, these are the people who are walking a mile in my shoes and my 3X t-shirt. I think those are amazing posts. And I would love to see more of you, like, reaching out, asking, like, other. I think this was yesterday again. I was in the Facebook group a lot yesterday. And somebody said, crowdsourcing. That was, like, the first thing. I want to crowdsource at night. I have a really tough time stopping at enough with my dinner. I would love to know, for anybody who has figured that out, what did you try and what did you think? Those are the kind of posts that work two different ways. The person who needs ideas, and then everybody who is having that same struggle, that becomes a fountain of information. It becomes something where you're reading. It's like, oh, I didn't even think about stuff like that. Like, oh my gosh, there's a lot of people like me in here who just kept tinkering with things until they figured out something that worked for them. It, like, but you become, when you reach out to the group, you become what we call a dealer of hope. Your posts make other people feel hopeful because then they start learning. And then it works on the second side, where the people that reply, they get to reinforce shit is working for them. So often when we're losing weight, one of the biggest things that get in our way is that even when we're experiencing success, even when things start changing, when, like, when we've grown and we've learned new things, we still try to focus on what we're not yet. We get stuck in thinking, but this part's broken. Like, I mean, I get that I fixed like five things, Corinne, but you know, this one over here, ain't no way I can feel good about myself until all of it's done. And so when you go in and you reply, it reinforces in your mind, things are changing. You do have wisdom now that you have changed, that you're not the same person. So it's valuable for the person who asks, it's valuable for the person who contributes. And then there's a third post, which is, I just call them the learning and aha posts, which is what I would like to see a ton of, especially during overeating week. This is what this week is. Module 3 is all about them damn overeats and urges and stuff. Is, here's the lesson. Here's what I learned. Here's my aha. Here's what you should know. Here's the one thing I'm going to try. Here's the question I have. Like, tell me. Tell everyone. Because then the Facebook group is going to read like the weight loss Googles. But it's going to be real weight loss Googles, not bullshit articles, not, you know, have you done this detox? I think that's the refreshing thing about our Facebook group, is when you go in, not going to find drama. You're going to find people winning, celebrating their lives. You're going to find people who are having tough times, reaching out for help and seeing them feel better. You're going to see people checking up on each other. You're just going to see so much. All right. If you are brand new to No BS, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is a Q&A call. I will be bringing, be answering some questions in a minute. A lot of times I start off with just chatting with some things that are on my mind. But your goal inside of No BS is, these are the extra calls. So when you have Q&As, when you have life coaching with me, we have worksheet implementation calls. We have lots of different varieties of calls that you can attend. Never fear. These live calls, you cannot get behind in them. It does not matter if you miss them. They all go into the replays, into your private member podcast. They will be here from now until the end of time for you to come back and listen to whenever you want. Your main goal and the goal of the entire membership this month is get through No BS. Make sure that you take the orientation. And I would even encourage any of my No BS members right now who are listening to this, if it's been a while since you watched the orientation, the first few videos, go back and listen one more time. They, I think, are perfect in those moments when you start normalizing, like, you know, when you first join No BS, or you restart, or you have a good run or whatever, it's normal to be motivated and stuff. But what always happens is our brains always lose the motivation. And it's not that it's like something's wrong with you or something bad has happened. There's a technical term for it called hedonic adaptation. Our brains are supposed to do that. Things are not supposed to be exciting all the time and motivating. You're not supposed to be like, woohoo, can't wait to do the next thing. Woohoo, can't wait to watch a lesson. Woohoo, can't wait to fill out the plan. It's only going to be exciting for so long. And then the normalcy kicks in. And then just the like boringness of it all. And then when all of that like wahoo excitement dies down, what comes in is like not a lot of noise in your brain, but the voice in your head that doubts, that's worried, that is overly concerned about what other people think, that nitpicks your body apart, who says, you know, we've never been able to lose weight, Corinne. Why do you think this time's different? That voice gets louder because there's nothing drowning it out. And so when that voice is loud, you feel, you match the feelings of those voices. That's why a lot of us think something's gone wrong when we're no longer motivated. I'm like, no, you're just hearing your narrative. You're just hearing what's always been going on in your brain. And that's a good thing. Because you're here where I'm going to teach you how to listen to your brain. And I'm going to teach you how to turn the volume up on all of that so that you can listen and redirect it and start reprogramming and thinking new things about yourself rather than those like needing, I need to be extremely high on diet, like brand new one, extreme, buy some shit and all the feelings that come around that. Or I'm in the fucking dooter. And I'm not listening to my brain, but I'm going through life doubting myself and just thinking that's just the way it is and feeling like shit and just thinking that's the way it is. So you're always going to lose that piece. So for anybody, when you have a down day, when you're doubting, you can lose weight. When you're like thinking there's just too much to do inside of No BS, any of those bullshit things come up, I want you to watch orientation. It's less than 15 minutes, but that orientation is not just like click here to do this. It's me settling you the fuck down. It's me reassuring you everything's going to be okay. It's me giving you simple instructions on how to just, let's just get started. Let's do things in a doable way. Let's not be a perfectionist. I like help you clean out the cobwebs a little. So always go back to orientation. If you ever feel like you just need a little motivation, love and kick in the ass. It's a little kick ass. It's also a lot of love. People adore it. All right. So if you're new, get No BS finished. Everybody get No BS finished. We want to win some prizes. And if you're new, No BS is what changes your life. This week, we're all on module 3 on how to stop overeating. Unless you're new, you're just wherever you're at. If you're not on module 3 yet and you're doing our challenge this month to get through No BS, who the fuck cares? I'm just going to talk about overeating today. You'll get benefits, whether you listen to the lessons, whether you're on module 2 or not. And then we got another 22,735 points this week. Y'all unlocked the accountability group Airbnb package, which means that we will be gifting an accountability group or just a person who wants to rent an Airbnb. And you'll get admission to virtual camp. So we'll be drawing for all of that at the end of the month, January 30th. We're going to send you all out a survey. Everybody who takes the survey will be entered into drawings to win things. And then the ass-kicking moment, this is the part where motivation wanes. This right now is me giving you a warning. We got to get more people posting about repeat and get it done and what they learned. Because this week we're right on target. If we lose a little bit more motivation, if we lose a little bit more momentum, y'all might not get number 3. So don't do that to yourselves. I want to see people win. I think the next thing that we're unlocking is a Peloton bike or a Peloton treadmill. Y'all don't want to miss out on being in the drawing for that if you've ever wanted one. And then we'll top out at the end. All right. Let's see. If you want, help,
with the module 3 worksheets you can attend with Coach Betsy this Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Central Time. She's going to be going through the module 3 worksheets with everyone. So you can do that, y'all. And if you have any questions, now is the time to put them in the Q&A. I'm fixing to start answering. Also on this Saturday is going to be the 60-day pre-camp call. So if you're wondering what camp is, we're doing relationships camp this time. It's a 3-day virtual or in-person event here in Nashville. You can go on over to nobswomen.com, click on events. You can read all about Relationships Weekend. Relationships Weekend is not just for people with broken relationships, and it's not just for people who are married. That is not what this weekend is about. This weekend, I'm already writing all of the content right now. And the one thing that I want to teach all of you, like there's going to be a major theme of this one. And this morning I was thinking about it and I identified it. I was actually writing about my life because I am somebody who I would just be really honest and say, I have had very broken relationships most of my life. I did not have a good relationship with my father. Still don't. I don't have a great relationship with men from my past. Got into some pretty bad relationships. I had a terrible relationship with myself. Attempted suicide at 17. Very hard on myself most of my life. Friend circles up and down. Just really up and down. Surrounded myself with some pretty rough people for a lot of my life that didn't elevate me or grow me. But I was desperate to keep them in my life because I didn't value myself. But at the heart of all of it, when I was writing about all of these broken relationships, like my broken relationship as a mother, I mean, I was writing about this morning and I was just bawling because I had a very hard relationship with Logan for many years. And I was thinking about, like, what is the common theme? And what is it that gets in our way most often? And the one thing that I want to teach all of you is, how do you show up in the world and not make what other people do, what other people don't do, and what other people say mean something terrible about you? I think at the root of most of us, when we feel bad in relationships, it is because we don't have a strong relationship with ourselves. We are like, I was thinking about it this morning. I told myself all of my life that for some reason, I was just not good enough for people. And I think it started when I was a kid and being abandoned by my dad. Talked about it last week. But it really set into stone for me, like this idea that something was wrong with me. Like, I just wasn't very lovable. And then that meant I spent most of my formative years figuring out how unlovable I was and what was wrong with me. And, you know, for a long time, I blamed my weight. I would sit around and just think that, like, being fat was like the worst thing that could ever happen to a person. And here I was bad. And this is why people didn't like me. And this is why people took advantage of me. This is why I didn't get promotions. And you name it. I blamed my weight. I blamed my lack of education. I blamed my parents. I blamed so many. I was always looking for things to blame as to why I was flawed. Why something was wrong with me. And I just spent so many years like working on the problem of me. And what I learned, and I think it's one reason why I ended up losing weight, it wasn't because of like, I'm all about the doable steps and everything, but at the root of all of it, I just think I decided that I was going to have to quit trying to solve the problem of what's wrong with Corinne. Well, today it's this, and that going through my life, looking for things that people would say, things people didn't do, reading into everything is like, see, another thing that's wrong with me. And so a lot of camp is going to be spent on healing that relationship with yourself, because as my friend Jane talks about, the strength of all of your relationships can only be as strong as the strength of the relationship you have with you first. When you value you, you value other people. When you have your own back, you tend to want to have other people's backs. When you're willing to tell yourself no, like to snacks or whatever it is, you're also more willing to tell other people no without being worried you're going to hurt their feelings. You do it from a place of like, our relationship is, you know, should be strong enough for me to be able to tell you no. And if it's not, that's not a problem with me. But this is a warning sign. I should question the relationship if I can't show up as myself. And so I want to spend the weekend doing a lot of work on all kinds of things about how do you work on your relationships? How do you amplify them? How do you heal them? But at the root of all of it is really learning how relationships work. They start in your mind. They end in your mind. And so much of relationships is all because when things don't go the way we want them to, we make it mean something's wrong with us. When things do go the way we want them to, we become overly reliant on that. We're like, okay, now I am good enough. So it's going to be a lot of learning how to stop seeking all of that external validation or that external like incrimination. All right. So this, we have bonuses though for camp. The reason why I was telling you all that is the 30 days out and 60 days out from camp, we do bonus calls with Kathy and MJ. And they start getting you into the right headspace for camp. They start preparing you for camp. They start teaching you how to, you know, be alone with yourself a little bit, how to start discovering what it is you really want to learn. One of the things that I love about our 30, 60 day things is we try to help you spend time before you come, really centering in on what it is that you need most out of that weekend so that your brain is primed and ready to hear the message you need most. So don't miss your bonus calls. If you're going to come to camp, whether you're coming in person or virtually, go ahead and get signed up now so that you can get access to those calls. If for some reason you can't attend those calls, it's not a problem. You will get the replays as a camper. All right, let's go to questions. So I don't want to run out of time, which I always go late. Y'all know that. Sorry, Judith. Let me bring Judith up and she's going to go through some of the questions because what we want to do is we want to try to keep most of this to a lot of the module 3 questions. So I'll let Judith get caught up here, but I'll just start with the first ones. Let's see. I log on a good 8 minutes before the call is supposed to start every time. And yet I always seem to be brought in the middle of the call. I'm in the specific time zone, but why am I never at the beginning when Karen says good morning or just at the beginning? Karen, for all of you, this is what happens. I think when I go live with Zoom, it takes a minute to let everyone in because there's so many of you that attend the live calls. You're probably only missing 1 or 2 minutes at most. So I don't think it's that you're coming in the middle of the call. Zoom will only let you in once I start the call. So don't worry about that. But you're probably only, I mean, if you came in at 8 minutes, I didn't start until 9:01. So just take a look. Can you explain or give an example of the now process? Michelle, you can go to module 2, unit 8. I explain the now process there and I actually walk you through the now process. For all of you, the now process is where we're going to process a feeling. And what does that even mean, processing a feeling? The short of it is that when you have a thought, it always generates a feeling, and that feeling is like a chemical cocktail released in your body. All feelings or emotions are physical vibrations of the chemicals that your brain releases after a thought is thunk, all right? So if you have an anxious thought, like you think something that makes you anxious, then your body releases things like adrenaline and cortisol, which rev you up. As the adrenaline and the cortisol releases in your body, you're going to notice your heart rate's going to change. A lot of times breathing changes. You might feel fluttery in your stomach. There will be maybe your muscles shake, maybe your chest tightens, maybe your chest opens, whatever your body does in response to a feeling. So most feelings have a life cycle of about 90 seconds. The chemicals burn off in about 90 seconds. But what most of us do is we have a thought and we have a feeling. And the moment we start noticing a feeling, we panic and we try to distract ourselves or we try to switch our thought so that we don't have to feel it. What the now process is about is actually helping you start going through feelings instead of trying to switch them, turn them off, think that they're terrible. Have like the more you do the now process with your emotions, the more you can drop the story of I can't handle them. They're too much for me. It's too uncomfortable. It'll never end. So the now process is about debunking a lot of the anxiety filled thoughts we have about our feelings. All right. So everybody has a thought and a feeling. Is like created. And a feeling has to have chemicals. So your brain is like the bartender. It's giving you a shot. Sometimes it's Fireball. Sometimes it's a little shot of water. Goes through your body. The now process has you sit with it as it travels. So when you listen to module 2, unit 8, I'm going to explain in the first half and then I just walk you through how do you sit and do a body scan? So the now process is about like, all right, let's notice or name the feeling. Sometimes you may not be able to name it. A lot of feelings feel very similar. Sometimes they're hard to, like, especially if you're out of touch with your feelings, which I would say 99% of the world is, it's not a big deal. You can take some guesses or you can just skip that part. And what you do is then you are going to be what we call opening yourself up to let yourself feel it. And so if you can't listen to the module, here's the easiest way to do it. If you notice you're like, you feel triggered, like you notice like, oh my gosh, I'm wanting to eat and you feel an urge and you notice that you're like starting to get like jittery. Your brain is just like, oh, I want some Oreos. Oh my God, what a bad day we had. Like, oh, this will be so good. You really like, you can just start tomorrow, honey. It won't be that big a deal. Like, hell, I'll even get your ass up early. You'll go work out. You can eat them Oreos. This is going to be okay. So your brain is like cycling all this. Well, while it's doing all that, it's like, here's another shot. Here's another shot. Here's another shot. So there, you're just going to open yourself and be like, all right, I notice I'm in an urge. Here's what I want to do. I want to take a very big, deep breath. Number one, I think that when you're feeling any powerful emotion, this also can be done with your positive emotions too. You do not have to just do this when you feel like shit. You can process the good ones too to show yourself you do get to feel feelings all the time. But you just take a big, deep breath. One really good cleansing breath, and you concentrating on taking a deep breath, puts a pause on your racing thoughts. That is the point of the breath. Not only is it like got some chemical, like it's going to help you like, all right, prepare yourself for the influx of all your emotions. But when you focus on like, I'm going to take a deep breath, your brain can't be cycling the other shit at the same time. Your brain can do a lot of things, but not simultaneously when it comes to thinking. Now, it may jump back to thinking bullshit after you take your big breath, but at least you're going to put a little bit of a speed bump in there. So you take a big deep breath and you just start at the top. You're just like, all right, I'm going to just pay attention to the vibrations in my body so I can identify what's happening physically with me. That's called opening yourself up to the feeling. And then you witness it as it goes through. That's the last part, witness. So it's like, do I notice anything going on in my face? How is my throat feeling? What's going on in my chest right now? And you just walk head to toe. You're like, what's going on with my muscles? Are my fingers tapping? Am I wringing my hands? Am I just laying them there? Like, how does my stomach feel? What's my breathing like? Is my ass clenched?
know, am I like tapping my feet? You just ask yourself, like, what's going on? What's going on? There's two things that this does for you. Number one is that when you do that, your brain is now tasked to focus on something other than your thoughts racing about your Oreos and your terrible day and about how you're going to work it off tomorrow and all that other horse shit that it likes to do. You've given your brain now a task, and you've given it a valuable task, which is, what is really going on here right now? This is actually what's happening. This is what the urge is like. Most of us think our urges are terrible because we're just witnessing thought after thought after thought after thought. But the urge is actually just the physical response of those thoughts. So if you interrupt the thinking to witness the feeling, what ends up happening is your brain has to calm down because now it's on a task-related thing. Now, you may jump around a little bit, but just keep coming back to, I'm going to figure out what's going on in my body. The second thing that it does that's beneficial is it allows you to realize that your story about the feeling never ending, your story about it being too much and stuff is not true. Those are just thoughts. What's really true is when I feel an urge and the chemicals release in my body, my breathing gets fast. What's actually true is my stomach feels this way. It's a neutralizer. It neutralizes the story we have around our feelings. Like, I shouldn't have them. It's like, why not just have an urge? Why not be sad? Why not be angry? If the worst that's going to happen is, well, I notice when I'm angry, these things happen. And because when you do that in the think, feel, do cycle, the do line is no longer yell at people. The do line is no longer go eat my Oreos. Now it's like the response to an urge is process what's happening in my body, teach myself this is all that's going on. I don't have to keep running from my feelings. Because then from that space of like, all right, this is all that's happened. Self, do I want to keep thinking the things I'm thinking that are generating my feelings? Or am I just okay with like, all right, we're done. I don't need the Oreos. Yes, I've had a bad day. Oreos ain't going to fix it. I'm going to feel sad about my bad day, or I'm going to feel angry about my bad day until I do want to change how I think. Maybe I want to think about this day like, you know, it did suck, but I'm home. I survived. Sometimes it ain't fun at work, and that's okay. I don't need every day to be fun. Sometimes people piss me off. I'm human. That's normal. That gives you a chance to think a little differently. You don't have to forgive, forget, change things, rewrite stories or anything. You could just have some like normal, like, it's normal. Sometimes I don't like the way people show up. It's all right. I also don't have to eat over it. I don't have to think I suck because of it. So hopefully that was helpful. I'm putting the glasses back on. I'm trying to celebrate some big wins around my drinking and overeating since starting No BS. I almost never drink on the weekdays. I don't keep wine in the house. I'm setting up environmental goals. I'm not beating myself up as much. I've lost 10 pounds since I've joined in. That sounds like a lot of good things. But let's just figure out why we're going to decide to feel like shit, even though we have all these great things happening. Well, I'm trying not to feel down, Corinne, because I'm stalled at around 194 for the past 6 weeks, even with all these wins. I'm trying to pick a next do goal that is really doable. Drink 4 or less one day of the weekend. Other ideas. I would start with that one. Like, this is the thing. You don't need to sit there and be like, I'm stalled. Like, this is what y'all want to do. Y'all like want to make it true that I'm stalled at 194 for 6 weeks. Except that thought feels like shit. Rather than saying, I weigh 194, I would like to be 192 by the end of the month. What are the ways that I can get there? What are things I can be doing? You can just go there. You don't have to try not to feel down about things. You can just decide.
I refuse to feel down about this. Feeling down about it doesn't make me feel productive. Like what I want to feel about being at 194 for 6 weeks with a goal of 192 by the end of the month is this. I want to feel productive. I want to feel focused. This is a great way to use the think, feel, do cycle. Sometimes when you're catching yourself like looping over here, is to ask yourself, how do I want to feel? What do I want to feel in order to get to where I want to be? If it's productive, willing, doable, that kind of thing, then all right. So what do I need to be thinking about this in order to produce that feeling that's going to allow me to be creative? It's going to allow me to think of things. If you think the first thing that you need to work on is what's happening on the weekend, it's like four less drinks on Saturday and Sunday or Friday and Saturday, then make that your goal. Just say, like, all right, I'm going to see for the next couple weekends. I don't know why I didn't get the glass cleaner out. For the next two weekends, it's exactly what I'm going to do. And I'm going to see if that makes the scale move. If that doesn't make the scale move, all right. It might need to be three then, but I won't know until I start trying. Because if I want to get the scale moving, I just got to be willing to try things and see what does work. Mix things up, challenge myself a little more, figure out what could I do? Because there's probably plenty of things that you could do. I would bet you there's plenty of things that you could do to shake things up. But what y'all need to make sure you do is that you pick one or two little things that you are ready to go all in on, truly ready to go all in on. You do them, you see what happens. And if it still doesn't shake it loose, you don't beat yourself up. You don't be like, oh my God, I knew I could never lose weight. I'm not doing enough. Well, you don't make it. That's when I talk about relationships weekend. This is like one of those things. You have a shitty ass relationship with the scale. It's like you look at the scale and you think, all right, it didn't move. There's something wrong with me. This means I'm not good enough. This means I'll never get it. This means horseshit. Instead of it didn't shake loose, what I tried didn't work. What's next? What else can I try? What am I going to do? And I will just tell you, Sheila, I would go over all your food logs for the last 2 weeks. I'd take a look at them, make sure you're waiting for hunger, make sure you're stopping at enough, like really pour through, like especially if you got 6 weeks of planner data, I would pour through each day and just get a real honest review of like, all right, there's probably a bunch of things I can work on. I bet all of your data will show you like, yeah, that day, if I had just done this little thing and it wouldn't have been that big a deal to do it in the moment, it feels like a big deal. But when I look at it, like going back, it's really not that big a deal. These are the lists of things pouring through my data that I know that I can start putting on my list of things that I can try to start working on. Okay, this is a good one. After being in the membership for a year and a half and doing it half-assed, the past 30 days, I've finally been doing all the right things. I'm planning, I'm following it, I'm assessing, and doing doable hunger. I'm seeing that it is really about the little things instead of making insurmountable goals. My question is, how do I deal with the guilt I have about taking this long to get with the program? First of all, you just tell yourself, oh my God, I'm starting to get it. Like, there's zero upside to you indulging in the idea it should have happened faster. You cannot rewrite the past. The past has already happened. The only thing you do is rewrite how you think about the last year and a half. I would just decide, I don't give a damn. I didn't quit. I'm sitting here and it's working. Why the fuck do I want to waste time feeling bad about that? Like, I'm just telling myself, not useful. Sometimes you need to like excavate. You really should, you know, like really work on your beliefs and stuff. This is not a belief issue. This is a useless line of thinking And when it starts, I'm going to tell myself, shut the fuck up. Not true. You know what's true? I'm getting it. You know what's true? I'm getting some wins. You know what's true? I never quit. You know what's true? I'm paying the fuck attention now. Why am I going to sit around and feel bad about that? Probably because I've always sat around and felt bad about myself. My relationship with me is one of which, like, I probably tell myself I'm a failure or that I can't do things or, you know, whatever it is that your flavor of not good enough is. It's like, all of you, please hear this. This is why I wanted to do Relationships Weekend. It's because whatever your flavor of bullshit thinking you have about yourself, it will just come up in a variety of ways. And even when you're doing all the right things, if you are determined something's wrong with you or that you're not good enough and stuff, then you'll do like Lynn's doing, which is like, here I am getting wins and successes. And what I need to do is feel bad. So let me figure out something to feel bad. It's like, I'm not going to feel bad about overeating because I'm not doing that right now. And I can't beat myself up for not planning because I'm actually planning now. And I can't beat myself up around doable hunger because I'm actually doing that now. So, what could I feel bad about? Oh my God, I've got it. You wasted a year and a half. Let's go there. It's like, tell your brain, what is wrong with you? Just shut up. Like, put it in a timeout. I was like, I am not going to coach you. I am not going to like play with you. I am not going to sit here and journal about you. You know what we're going to do? We're just going to realize that we're figuring out a way to feel bad and we're going to stop doing that because that's useless. That's all I would do, Lynn. My brain does the same thing. I will tell you, there's like times in my life, like I got a great life. I got a good man. My son has surpassed every little dream I could have had for him. I would just knew that he'd never get to where he is right now. I have no reason to worry about that child. And yet, even this morning, I'm writing in my journal about like I write every day five things I want and why. And they change every day. And I'm writing about Logan this morning. And I realized I am creating problems. I was literally writing about what's going to happen. It was like, you need to make a goal of helping him find his people because one day you're going to die. Chris is going to die. He's going to outlive the family and have nobody and be lonely. That was the best my brain had this morning about my child. Because it's so used to worrying about him that it's going out and trying to find problems, something to worry about. When I have so much evidence that Logan is going to be perfectly fine. So you just have to be on your brain all the time and be like, shut the fuck up. What are you talking about? He's doing great. He's one of the nicest people ever. He's going to find his own people. And I tell Chris all the time, there is some woman who is going to love this child. He is the most kind-hearted. He takes a genuine interest in people. He makes you feel special being around him. Now, whoever this lady is going to need to be having no manual for his cleanliness. She's going to be like, because you treat me like a queen, I will pick up after the king. All right. I haven't planned all week. My mom is on life support and in the ICU. I haven't been hungry at all, but mustering up the energy and will to eat something. I'm still eating sensibly, though, just not planning. Should I still plan the given situation? Jen, this is one of those times where I would just tell myself, here's what I'm doing. I'm paying attention. I know that this is a season in my life. If you feel like planning, because it will give you some peace and it will give you some kind of order and control over a situation that probably feels very out of control, then do it. If it doesn't, then you just tell yourself, I'm smart enough and compassionate enough with myself to know exactly what I'm going to need through this time that truly takes care of me. That may or may not be planning. It may just be as sensible as, I know I'm going to need nourishment, energy, because of my thoughts about everything that's going on, because the amount of probably pre-grieving that you're doing, those kinds of things, it's like, it makes sense why I wouldn't want to eat. But I know I need good food in me to get through this season. So you just want to just talk to yourself like that. I think the best thing to do is to do the things that feel right, that feel compassionate, and that you're paying attention to what you're doing. That's the most important thing. As long as you keep the habit of just paying attention to how you're thinking and feeling, and then acting from a genuine place of what's best for you during this time, that's the type of habit you want to have when this is over. If you want to get back to your weight loss or get back to like doing all the things that we teach in No BS. The reason why I give you guys the four basics is I want them to be flexible with life. And remember, I've told y'all 100 times inside the No BS program and inside different videos, I designed No BS to be compatible when shit hits the fan in life. If your diet can't stand up to when the shit hits the fan, what the fuck are you even doing? Like, you've got to figure out how to be able to go through these times in your life. So I think for you, just thinking about intentionality, you know, like at the core of No BS, it's not so much the four basics. It's more about what the four basics are really talking about. And they're talking about designing a life where you pay attention to your brain and you pay attention to your life. And you're acting from a place of wanting the best for you. And how do we do that? And we do that a lot through the four basics, because the four basics help us highlight when we're not doing that kind of stuff. But they also put a lot of intentionality, habits and behaviors in place for all of you. So anyway, Jen, we'll all be praying for you. How do I celebrate small wins to where I believe it? It feels fake right now. Chris, it's probably just going to feel fake for a little bit. That's okay. This is one of the things I like to tell myself. I'm going to celebrate the wins, even if they feel fake, because I'm just not used to that yet. But the only way to get used to it is to keep doing it. So figure out little things to tell yourself, figure out little things to celebrate, and just be like, I'm learning that I deserve my own attention and my own praise when these things happen. I don't deserve to beat myself up all the time, and I don't deserve the negativity that I constantly throw at myself. Telling yourself some of that might help with making them feel a little bit more legit. But for all of you, if you're not used to celebrating yourself, it's going to feel like shit at first. It's going to feel disingenuous. But here's the thing. It would be like telling somebody that always feels good about themselves, now I want you to get used to feeling terrible about yourself, and I want you to tell yourself terrible things. Like, it would feel very disingenuous to them too. Whatever we're used to hearing is what always feels true. It has nothing to do with if that stuff is true. It just has a lot to do with, are you used to hearing it? If you're used to hearing it, it will feel very true. I think I have some evening anxiety that stems from my childhood. For comfort, I eat in the evening, sometimes binging. Which worksheets will be helpful for me to work through this habit? Number one, we have the Fuck It Foods worksheet. That would be helpful. If you've not done the Binge Better program, you might want to go through that. That's inside the membership. There is a group for people who binge and overeat. I think that would be very helpful. You could do rewriting your past. So if you think, like, if you've identified, you think it started in childhood and something happened there that's given you this repeated pattern in the evenings, you could figure out what the story is that you're hanging on to that probably needs to be rewritten. So if you go to the resources on the website where the worksheets are, rewriting your past is there. And I think the Fuck It Foods worksheet should be there also, but you can check those out. If you can't find them, just post in the Facebook group and we'll link you up to them. Please explain the weight tracker chart in the planner. Statistics are new to me. I'd really like to utilize it, and Google has failed me. I'll tell you what I would do, Holly, is take a picture of the exact weight tracker you're talking about. I don't know if you're talking about the weight tracker or if you're talking about the habit tracker or, like, you know, what specific piece. Once you take a picture of it and once you post it inside of our Facebook group, ask all the members, how do you use it? Because here's the neat thing about the habit tracker and the weight tracker is they're just going to like, you, and you don't need to know statistics. Trust me. I don't know dick about statistics. In fact, there is a running joke on my team because we have to track a lot of stuff. And I'm always telling people, y'all just need to tell me what's working and what's not. I don't want to know your numbers. Number one, I don't understand them. Number two, I couldn't figure them out if I had to. I'm just like, it's a no. Math is not my thing. And honestly, I feel real good about it. I don't feel like a dumbass. You know what I feel like? Someone smart enough to find people who actually know numbers. Like, I just have no interest. So you don't need to be a stats whiz and you don't need to know any of that stuff. What I would do is I would just post what, like this is what I got. I don't understand how to use it. How are y'all using it? And let people who are using it successfully tell you how they're doing it. I think that would be really great. I'm coming to income in-person camp and I'm so excited. Me too. We just had a big camp meeting yesterday. Trying to decide which relationship to focus on. Is it possible to work on the relationship with myself? Yes. So the first day is going to be all of you understanding how relationships work, and they all start in your mind. So you're going to be working on the relationship with you first. Then we're going to move into the next 2 days working on components of relationships. All of them can be applied back to you though. So for a lot of you who, if the primary relationship you want to work on is you, you're going to figure out throughout the whole weekend how to apply. Like when we talk about having unrealistic rules and expectations for others, well, guess what, Sherlock? When you got unrealistic rules and expectations for other people, you're going to have unrealistic rules and expectations for you too. And like learning how to identify those and learning how to put a stop to them and create things and like understanding how to like stop relying on yourself to be perfect in order to have your own worthiness and love. So yes, you can totally work on the relationship with you. Now, throughout the weekend, what we're going to do, because I want to touch on lots of relationships, is we'll have some areas where the focus will be on you. And then throughout all the lessons, I'm going to use examples from all kinds of different types of relationships. So in some sections, we'll be talking about like being single and being on your own and spending time with yourself, which whether you're single or not, everybody needs to know how to be alone. Everybody needs to know how to spend time with themselves. Everybody needs to be able to be in their own skin and their own brain without flipping the fuck out or needing a distraction. For single people in particular, though, we want to address it for them because they spend so much time alone. You know, a good part of their life is being with themselves. And instead of what I want to teach single people to do is instead of going out and finding somebody to complete you or to fill your voids or to prove to yourself that you're lovable, I want you to be able to do that on your own. We'll also be doing things around parenting. We'll be using some stuff like expectations. A lot of us have crazy expectations on ourselves as mothers, on our partners and how they parent. We have crazy expectations as to how our parents should have parented us. We have crazy expectations of our children. Like one thing that I would love for every mother to quit doing is sitting around thinking that they're doing a terrible job as a mom because their 8 and 9-year-olds don't want to pick up their dirty clothes. And they bitch about it when they do. I'm like, they're 8 and 9. No, they don't know the value of picking up clothes and being tidy. They don't give a shit. They're not supposed to at 8 or 9. So quit throwing yourself under the bus as a mom and getting pissed at them because they ain't highly motivated. This is the stage of life where they bitch, but they do it anyway so that they can learn as they get older. Oh my God, I don't have to love something in order to do it. I don't have to be motivated in order to do it. I don't have to have perfect conditions in order to do it. You want them learning those lessons at that age. Like, think about it, all of you. How many of you are sitting back right now waiting to feel like it to quit overeating at night, waiting to feel like it to start finally working out for the first time in your life, waiting to feel like it to eat on your plan? when they're kids and they got to do stuff that they don't feel like doing, it teaches them resiliency. It teaches them how to quit bitching. It's like, bitch all you want, but you're still going to do it. Eventually, they learn to just do it without the bitching, but also not waiting for motivation. So these are things. Same thing, Heather. I don't give a 14 and 15 year olds. All right. So they're 14 and 15 and they're supposed to think like 45 year old Heather. 14 and 15 year olds don't even have the prefrontal cortex fully developed yet. That's called the reasoning brain. So when the sits back and thinks about things at 14 and 15, we're still just looking around trying to figure out what to think of ourselves based on what everybody else thinks about us. If I had a 14 or 15 year old, I got a 19 year old right now. He's about the maturity level of 14, 15 year old. You know what I do? If I want him to do something, I tell him to do it. And if he doesn't do it, I just tell him again. And if he doesn't do it, I tell him again. And then I start layering in consequences, or I start layering in things to help him to get him to do it because maybe he doesn't understand. But if he don't want to and he whines and everything, I don't sit there and feel terrible. That's not helpful. You being angry and feeling like shit and thinking that you're less than, and then having shady ass thoughts about your kid's future as if they're somehow going to be defunct because they can't like put their laundry away, or they don't clean a cat box, or they're not just like, oh my God, it's trash day. I'm so excited. Thank you, mommy, for giving me trash duty. I'm ready to go. Oh, that's bullshit. Most of the shit you want them to do is shit you don't want to do, but you want them to have a good attitude about it. You want them to want to do it. It's like nobody wants to do chores. Y'all don't even want to do the chores. And yet we want everybody in our life, though, to be excited about them or to do them without complaining. It's like when you're 14 and 15, guess what? You complain out loud. When you're 45, you stew. You eat Oreos. And then you go do it. Y'all all complaining. You're all acting like teenagers anyway. Just be honest about it. Most of us ain't no better than our damn kids and the way that they act. Our tantrum, our not wanting to, just manifests in a different way. But when you understand all that, God makes it, you just start dropping so many of your expectations. It's like they'll eventually do it. And if they don't, and I want it done so bad, I should quit bitching and just do it. I should show them you ain't got to be happy about it to get something done. And give them a consequence and don't feel bad about it. Most of us don't want to do all that. We just want it the easy way. We want our kids, we want to say like, children, you're going to do some dishes. You're going to clean. You're going to take trash out. And you're going to feel good about it. And when you feel good about it, then I get to feel good about it. Then I get to feel like a good mom. Then I get to think loving thoughts about my family. But until then, no, it's a no. I can't do that. It's your fault. It's your fault that I'm so cranky. It's your fault that I always sit around and think that I wish my life was better. It's not their fault. It's nobody's fault. So we're going to do it Relationships Weekend. We're going to put our brain into some fucking check because it needs it. All right, y'all, that is it for today. So since no BS, I really have started to hate myself. I feel like a loser since I cannot get it. All right, I want to address this one. No BS hasn't caused you to hate yourself. This is what's happened. You probably were eating your way through hating yourself. So you didn't hear all that. No BS has allowed you to turn up the volume of what you've probably always thought about yourself. Like, if you're not getting things, telling yourself I'm a loser instead of when you're not getting things, telling myself I'm in the best place ever to ask for help. I bet everyone like me, who weighed as much as I do, who had the family history that I do, whatever it is, and I'm going to tell you, none of you are unique snowflakes. As much as you want to be, you're not. We got women in here who have had very traumatic childhoods. We got women in here right now battling cancer. We got people doing extraordinary things, having a very unordinary life right now. So no one is special in their stuff. So you will always be able to at least tell yourself, I bet there's someone like me who struggled like I do right now. That doesn't make me a loser. That makes me in a place where other people are like me that I could reach out to for help. One of the things you need to see right now, Anonymous, you don't need to quit. This is the exact part where it gets hard, because you're uncovering how you talk to yourself in relation to stuff. Like, if you're not performing, something's wrong with me. Versus if I'm not performing, there's nothing wrong with me. I just need time to figure my shit out. So that how you talk to yourself is super important. And it is hard for some of you when you join No BS. No one has ever said to you, you get to decide how you think. We're going to listen to how we think. And when you turn up the volume, if you've never paid attention to it, and you've always just thought stuff you've been conditioned or whatever, guess what? It probably doesn't sound great. We're not taught this stuff. We're not ever told we get to think something different. So when you turn up the volume, if you don't like what you're hearing, please don't quit, because you didn't change what's on the radio station. It's now just going to play in the background, and it's going to manifest itself in everything that you do. You might feel relief from not having to hear it, but it's not because you're telling yourself, like, this is, please, all of you hear me when I say this. If you turn up the volume and the voice that you hear is harsh and says you're a loser and you never get things right and you can't lose weight and you're always wrong and nobody loves you and nobody ever will love you or whatever it is going on there. Most of you, what you do is you quit and then you feel relief because now you're not hearing that. But the problem is you're feeling relief because now you've turned the volume back down. And it's just repeating in the background of your mind now. So when you make mistakes, you beat yourself up in life. If you don't turn some work in on time, you start getting paranoid, you're going to get fired. You start telling yourself that you're a terrible employee and everybody hates you and stuff. So you're still doing the same kind of thinking. It's just now we've turned the volume up over here. And the problem is you never turned the volume up on a new way to talk to yourself. You only got relief from drowning out that voice and letting it run on repeat. What we want to do in No BS is turn up the volume on the bullshit of which we think. And then we want to compassionately hear it and know, with enough time, I can change. I hate myself to I'm worth the work. From I hate myself to there are good things about me and I'm willing to start understanding them. I hate myself to it might not be as bad as I think it is. That's ultimate relief. That's relief that lasts. That's relief that will truly carry you on. And it's also relief that you can apply to other areas of your life. All right. So just don't quit, y'all. All right. That's it for today. Y'all have a good one. I will see y'all on Sunday for some coaching. We'll do all the things. Otherwise, keep on doing Mission Possible. Earn your Peloton for the drawing. And I'll see y'all soon. Bye, y'all.